Okay, Boker Tov, good morning. Today's daf should be for the refuah. Shalom Aleichem, Cholim, Mifrat. Shalom Aleichem, Tzara, David ben Rachel, Yafa ben Darar, Rishka ben Dochev, Rishka ben Eser, Shalom Aleichem, Ephraim, Elam, Moshe ben Chana, Yafa ben Miriam, Yehudah ben Yafa, Sarah ben Simcha, Rechem ben Chana, David ben Eser, Simcha ben Malka, Miriam ben Rechav, Eliza ben Miriam, Chana, Diana ben Naomi, Rechel Eser ben Tamar. Ulavdil ben Nishma, Liel Dina ben Ephraim, Elishua ben Aharon, Aharon ben Yitzchak, and Binyamin ben Yitzchak. Okay, we're holding on the bottom of Tet Amud Bet. Today's daf is Daf Yud. It's a little bit of a lengthier daf, but there's two topics pretty much for today. It's going to be if Yerushalayim, once Yerushalayim had the Kedusha, does it always have the Kedusha even today? Or once the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed, then there's no longer Kedusha today? And we're going to see some practical halachic examples. And then the second part of the daf is pretty much talking about different pesukim that have the word Vayehi in it. If there's the word Vayehi in it, the Gemara tries to say that maybe it's talking about Lashon Tsar. It's talking about some type of suffering. So the Gemara explains when Vayehi means it's about to be suffering and when it does not. So we're on Ted Amud Bet at the Mishnah at the bottom of the page. The second to last Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Ein bein bama gedola le bama ketana ela pesachim. There is no difference between the big bama, the big mizbeach, and the small mizbeach that each person would do, the private mizbachot that they used to have, besides for the pesachim. We know the only difference would be that the pesachim would be, the korban pesach would only be sacrificed on the bama gedola, but it would not be sacrificed on the small mizbeach, only on the big mizbeach. So, just to explain, there's the big mizbeach that was in the time of in the Mishkan itself, and then there's the way Rashi explains it. Bama ketana mizbeach shel yachid shel kol yachid v'yachid oseh bama le'atzmo. That each person would have their own bama that they made in their own home. Let's say I had my own mizbeach, I can make my own korban whenever he needed to in the time of the Beit HaMikdash, not in the time of the Beit HaMikdash. We're gonna see in the Gemara, but that's the only difference. We're gonna see. The Gemara is gonna talk about it. Zeh kelal kol shehu nidar ve'nidav karev bebama. Anything that is a neder or a nidava can be sacrificed on the bama ketana in your own private mizbeach. Ve'kol she'eno lo nidar ve'lo nidav eino karev bebama. And anything that is not a neder or a nidava, anything other than that must be on the bama gedola. Has to be on the main mizbeach, not on your own private mizbeach. The Gemara says, Pesachim etulo. The only difference between the big and the small mizbeach is Korban Pesach. But clearly we see, from our Gemara, if you look from our Mishnah, if you look afterwards, it says that only things that are Neder and Nedava are allowed to be put onto the private mizbeach. Everything else has to go on the big mizbeach, the big Bama. So clearly there's a lot of other differences.
Amin.
Yeah, so the Gemara comes and says, rather, it's coming to say anything like a korban pesach. Meaning, the way Rashi explains it, v'chol chovot hakavua lahem zman kepesachim. Anything that has an obligatory time, just like pesach, would have to go on the mizbeach hagadol, the bama gedola. Then the Gemara continues and says, Mani, who is the author of our Mishnah? Rabbi Shimon, it's the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. The Tanya, the Baraita says, Rabbi Shimon Amer, Av Tzibor lo hikrivu ela pesachim v'chovot shekavu alahem zman. Even the Tzibor only did pesachim and the sacrifices that are obligated at a specific time. Whereas, aval chovot she'en kavu alahem zman, but if you have, let's say, sacrifice that you do not have a set time, let's say, korban chatat, someone does a sin, so he has to bring a sin offering. That's not a set time to it. He says, those sacrifices, hacha ve'acha lo karev, it would not be sacrificed, nor on the big bama, meaning nor on the big mizbeach in the mishkan, nor would it be sacrificed even on the bama ketana, even on the small mizbeach, each one's private mizbeach. But the Chachamim would say, so that's the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, right? But the Chachamim would say that even the chovot, even the obligatory, obligations of the korbanot that do not have a set time to it, they can be sacrificed on the big bama, on the big. So it's a machloket, in essence, how do we understand what's allowed to be sacrificed on the big bama and what is allowed to be sacrificed on the small bama? Okay, new Mishnah. The Mishnah says, "Ein ben Shilo la Yerushalayim ela shebeshilo ochlin kodeshim kalim umaser sheni bechol haroe." So he says there's no difference between the city of Shiloh and the city of Yerushalayim, except for in Shiloh, you're allowed to eat something that's called Kodashim Kalim. There's different levels of something that is considered Kodesh. There's something Maaser Shani, there's Terumah, there's Kodashim Kalim, and there's Kodesh Kodashim. Meaning, there is something that's Maaser Sheni, which is a simple level of holiness. Then there's Truma. Then there's Kodesh, but it's a light level of holiness of Kodesh. And then there's a higher level of Kodesh that we're going to see there's differences as to where it's allowed to be eaten. So he says, in Shiloh, they were allowed to eat these light level of Kodashim, of Kodesh foods, Umaser Sheni, and anyone who was seen inside that city or seen with that city, or even if you were allowed to see, if you were able to see Shiloh from where you were, you would be allowed to eat those things over there. And in Yerushalayim, you needed to be inside the walls of Yerushalayim to be able to eat those things. Vekan vekan, and in both places, kodesh kodeshim nechalin lifnim min hakenaim. That in both places, it needed to be that there's no difference between Yerushalayim and Shiloh, but you needed to eat within the curtains, let's say, of the mizbeach or the walls of the mizbeach rather. So, meaning you have to eat within that mizbeach area, that mishkan area, for you to be allowed. If you're having kodesh, meaning if you're having the higher level of kodesh, it would have to be actually by the mizbeach itself. Okay, kelaim are the walls of the mishkan, inside the mishkan. It would have to be inside the mishkan. So there were mishkans in multiple places. There's one in Yerushalayim. There's one in Shiloh. There was in different places. So that's what he's referring to. So the Mishnah says kedushat Shiloh, the holiness of sanctity of Shiloh, yesh acharya heter. It has after it permission. What does that mean? After Shiloh was destroyed, all of the personal bamot became permitted again to be used. So that once there was a mishkan in Shiloh, they used the mizbeach in Shiloh. Once that became destroyed, then everyone was allowed to use in Shiloh their own private bamot, their own private mizbeach. Whereas in Yerushalayim, in acharei heter, the Mishnah says there is no permission after it. Meaning once Yerushalayim was destroyed, once the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed, it's still forbidden for a person to sacrifice in Yerushalayim on his own bama. You wouldn't be allowed to do that. The Mishnah is teaching us. So we're going to see in the Gemara why not. Amar Yitzchak, Shamati Shemakirvin Revet Chonyo Bizman Haze. I heard that they're sacrificing in the house of Chonyo nowadays. So he says, Chonyo was the Mizbeach that was built that Chonyo built in Alexandria of Mitzrayim. So he says, Katsavar, they hold Beit Chonyo Lav Beit Avodah Zarahi. They hold that Beit Chonyo is not considered a home of Avodah Zarah. V'katsavar Kedusha Rishona Kisha L'Shata V'lo Kisha L'Atid Lavo. And they hold that the original sanctity that was sanctified in Yerushalayim, once the Beit HaMikdash is destroyed, Yerushalayim no longer has a sanctity. So this is if you say that Yerushalayim no longer has a sanctity, now, since it no longer has a sanctity, you would be allowed to take your korban and go and sacrifice on in your own private bama. Whereas if you say that it does have the sanctity, then you would not be allowed to go and sacrifice it on your own private bama. Right? As the Pasuk says, Dichtiv, Ki lo batem at ata, ela menucha ve'ela nachala. How do they explain this Pasuk? Menucha zo Shiloh. When it says menucha, it's talking about the city of Shiloh. Nachala zo Yerushalayim. It says, Makish nachala le menucha. Makes a connection between Yerushalayim and Shiloh. Ma menucha yesh acharei heter. Just like Shiloh has permission after it, once it's destroyed, to be able to use the private bamot. Af nachala yesh acharei heter, so is to Yerushalayim, you would be allowed to, after it's destroyed, after the Beit HaMikdash is destroyed, you can use the private bamot. This is his opinion. Amrule amart, so they asked him, it's a very interesting conversation, so they asked Rabbi Yitzchak, did you actually say this? So he said, Amar lehu lo, no, he said, I didn't actually say it. What's going on here? He said it and now he's saying, I didn't say it. He said, Amar ava, Hay Elohim. He's like, I swear, this was the way of swearing. Amira, Megamir Lamine. You know, you did say it, and we all learned it from you also. Why are you telling you didn't say it? So he says, Mai Tamaka Hadarbe. Why is he Choserbo? Why did he go back and retract on his opinion? Like Mara says, Mishum Kashya de Rav Mari, the motive Rav Mari, because the contradiction that Rav Mari placed. What was the contradiction? Kedushat Shiloh Yesh Acharei Heter. Kedushat Yerushalayim Ein Acharei Heter. He says that the sanctity of Shiloh, you would be allowed, once it's destroyed, to still sacrifice over there. But not in Yerushalayim. So how can you say that you're allowed to sacrifice in Yerushalayim? There's still Kedusha over there. There's Ve'od, and also, Tanan, Isaran, Mishnah, Mishubal, Yerushalayim, once they came to Yerushalayim, right, Bizman Ezra, when they came to Yerushalayim, right, the way it says here, it says that, here, when they came to build the Beit HaMikdash, he says, Mishbar Yerushalayim Nesru HaBamot, they were forbidden to sacrifice on their own private bamots, ve'lo haya lehem od heter, and they did not have any more permission. Ve'hi hayita l'nachala, and this is the end of the pasuk, ve'hayita l'nachala. So, how can you come and say this is 2 points he's giving him as a contradiction unto Rabbi Yitzchak's words? So this was a reason why Rabbi Yitzchak was chozerbo. He retracted his opinion because he had these two contradictions. So I'm going to stop there for 1 minute for questions. Continuing. Okay, so the Gemara says, Tanayihi. It's actually a machloket Tanaim. Right? As you see, Ditnan, as it's taught in the Mishnah, Amar Rabbi Eliezer, Shamati kshayu bonin bahechal. I heard when they were building the Beit HaMikdash, right? This is talking about the second Beit HaMikdash in the time of Ezra. Osin kelaim lahechal, they were building the walls or the curtains for the hechal, uklaim lahazara, and the walls for the courtyard. Ela shebehechal bonim bachutz, rather for the hechal they were building from the outside, uba azara bonim bifnim, and for the courtyard they were building from the inside. Vamar Rabbi Yeshua, and Rabbi Yeshua said, Shamati shemakirin afet piyisha ein bayit, as I heard they're sacrificing even though there's no Beit HaMikdash. Ochlin kochek kodashim afabisha in kelaim. I heard they're eating the holy of holies. They're eating the holiest types of foods of kodesh, and they're not even. There's no walls for the Beit HaMikdash. There's no walls at all. Kodashim kalim maser sheni afabisha in choma. Is I heard they're, or there's no curtain, let's call it. And I heard they're eating kodashim kalim, the lighter kodashim, and maser sheni, even though there is no walls of Yerushalayim. Mipnei kedusha rishona kitcha l'sha'ata vekitcha l'atid lavo. He says that the original Kedusha in Yerushalayim was an original Kedusha, and that Kedusha still lasts till today. And so if that still lasts till today, what do you see? It would be permitted to sacrifice on the Bamot, on their Bamot, even nowadays, he's trying to say. Right, if you look inside, let's see if Rashi says anything. Rashi says, no, Rashi doesn't say anything. So the Gemara is trying to understand that Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua are kind of disagreeing. Rabbi Eliezer is kind of holding that you're not allowed to sacrifice on the in the when there's no Beit HaMikdash, right? Because he holds Kedusha Rishona, Kichal Shata, V'lo Latid Lavo. He holds that it's only sanctified back then, but not anymore. Whereas the second opinion of Rabbi Yeshua is trying to say, no, it still has Kedusha, so you would still be allowed to sacrifice on your own private Bamot. So the Gemara says, "She's the machloket tanaim." So the Gemara says, "Miklal that Rabbi Eliezer savar lo kichal atid lavo." That you can infer from that Rabbi Eliezer holds that it's not sanctified Yerushalayim in the future when the Beit HaMikdash is not existent. Amar Ravina, Rav Hashem, imai. How do you know that that's the case? Where's your proof to that? Dilma dekule alma kedusha rishana kichal shata vekichal atid lavo. Maybe everybody agrees that there is always kedusha in Yerushalayim. Umor my deshmiya lekamar, umor my deshmiya lekamar, and each rabbi, both Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, they're just teaching over what they heard, what they learned from their rabbi. But they're not coming to say that there's no kedusha la'atid lavo. Of course, there's still kedusha. How can you prove that? So Gemara says v'chi tema kila'im the Rabbi Eliezer lamali. So maybe you can ask. So why does Rabbi Eliezer require the kila'im? Why does he require the curtains or the walls? Why does he need that? They're kind of extra in that sense, right? If you look in here it says, why does Rabbi Eliezer require walls for the Beit HaMikdash? But they can sacrifice even without the walls, since it's sanctified even la'atid lavo. If there's kedusha even for the future, then you don't need the walls of the Beit HaMikdash to sacrifice. So why does he require the walls for the Beit HaMikdash? So the Gemara says, let's niyuta be'alma. Maybe it's just for tsanua, just for it to be private. So that's why they made the walls for the Beit HaMikdash. But not necessarily do you need it, because he could hold that there's kedusha. Meaning, if you say that he holds there's kedusha even la'atid lavo, then why does he need the walls? Answer is because he wanted it to be tsanua, he wanted it to be private. So Gemara says, Ella kihane tanaim. Rather, it has to be this machloket tanaim. He's trying to find the machloket tanaim that one opinion will say there's still kedusha, one opinion will say there's no more kedusha. So he says, the Tanya, the Baraita says, Amar Rabbi Yishmael b'Rabbi Yose, Lama manu chachamim et elu? Right, when talking about, you're getting into the Pasuk, discussing the 8 walled cities from the time of Yehoshua ben Nun. So he says, why did the chachamim appoint only those cities? There could be many other cities. Shekshalu b'nei ha'gola, when the b'nei ha'gola came in the time of Ezra, it says, Matzu et elu v'kichum, they saw these cities, they found these cities and they sanctified them. Aval harishonot, Batlu, Mishab Batla Arts, but the original ones, the first ones, they became Batel whenever the land of Israel was Batel. So what do you see from this?
Alma, kasavar kedusha rishona, kicha l'shata, velo kicha lati lavo, that the original kedusha in Yerushalayim, it was sanctified back then, but it's not still sanctified today. If you're coming to tell me that they became batel, that's telling you that what? They don't have that same kedusha. They had to come and find these cities and re-sanctify them, showing you that some cities don't have the sanctity anymore. So when it says, Urminu, you have a contradiction. Amar Rabbi Yishmael, Amar Rabbi Yosei, v'chi elu bilvadam ayu, were there only these eight walled cities? V'alo kvar ne'emar shishim ir kol chevel argov. It says there were 60 cities. V'chtiv kol ela arim batsurot choma gevoa. They were all walled. They all had walled cities. These were all 60 walled cities. So why are you saying there's only eight? There's many more than eight. Ela lama manu chachamim elu. So how come they only counted, or nine, I guess. Why they only count these nine? He says, "Shekshalu bnei Agola matzu elu v'kitshum." When they found these cities, they came up and found these cities. They came and sanctified these cities. So the Gemara says, "Kitshum," they sanctified them. Hashta ha'amre lo tzricha lekadushe. But you're trying to say that they don't need kedusha, right? If you go on to the hemshech of the Braita, we're going to see it soon that you don't. It's going to say that the kedusha rishona was kitcha l'shata and kitcha l'ati lavo. That means the original sanctity, it stayed forever and it never left. So if you're saying that it always had its original sanctity, then come and tell me over here they don't need to come and re-sanctify it. Clearly, what you see, they need to be re-sanctified. Ela matzo et elu umenaum. Rather, he says no. Then they didn't sanctify it. What they do? They found these cities, these walled cities, which were already still sanctified, and they counted them or they reappointed them as the eight cities. Velo elo bilvad, it's not only those eight or nine, ela kol sheta'aleh lecha masoret biyadecha me'avotecha, anything you have in masorah that you heard from your forefathers, shemukefet choma mimot Yehoshua bin Nun, that its walls on top of Yehoshua bin Nun, kol ha-mitzvot halalu nu'agin ba, mipnei shekidusha rishona kidusha l'shata v'kidusha l'ati lavo. He says that all of the original, all of the mitzvot that are required to be done in the walled cities are done in those cities because you have a mesorah, because the original kidusha in Yerushalayim, it's a kidusha back then, and it's still kidusha today. It never ends. So what do you see from all of this? What is the Gemara trying to bring over here? You see from these baraitot that there's a malchloket tanaim bedin kidusha rishona. If we say that the original Kedusha, right, the first Baraita, what did we say? It does not stay, the sanctity. Right, if you go back, the sanctity does not stay forever. But if you, right, that was Rabbi Yishmael bar Rabbi Yosei. He said when they came up, they came and sanctified it. So he said if you according to the first Baraita, it wasn't sanctified, la'atid lavo. If you go to the second Baraita, they didn't come and sanctify it, it was already sanctified. What did they do? They just came and counted those specific cities. So there's a contradiction over here on Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Yosei. Kasha ad Rabbi Yishmael, ad Rabbi Yishmael. It's a kasha on both opinions of Rabbi Yishmael. So the Gemara says, Trei Tanai Ali b'da Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Yosei. It's two Tanaim who heard differently in the name of Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Yosei. They each heard their own way, and so therefore that's how they got mixed up. Ve'ibayit ema, and if you want to say a different answer, Ha Rabbi Elazar b'da Rabbi Yosei, Ha Amara. This opinion is actually the opinion of Rabbi Elazar, the son of Rabbi Yosei. The Tanya, the Baraita says, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yosei, Amar, Asher lo choma, that this is considered in those arei, batei arei choma. And he says, Afal pi she'ein lo achshav, haya lo kodem lachen. Even though it does not have a wall now, but it had a wall then, it's included in this discussion of batei arei choma, that person, that it's considered walls from the walled from that time, and they'd be allowed to necessarily redeem it or things along those lines. But he says, because Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yosei says that Kedusha Rishona was sanctified back then. And he says clearly what? That it's still sanctified till today. So it wasn't Rabbi Ishmael versus Rabbi Ishmael. It's actually the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yosei. So it was Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yosei versus Rabbi Ishmael, Rabbi Yosei. And so that's where the machloket came out. If the first Kedusha was sanctified back then, is also still sanctified today, or Yerushalayim, once it was destroyed, there's no longer sanctity. And that would be the machloket if you would be allowed to sacrifice on your own private bamot today, or you would not be allowed. Jumping into a new topic. Now we're going to talk about all these different pesukim that we have, that some of which have to do with the book of Esther, and also understand when it says the word Vayehi, is it talking about something of suffering, or is it not talking about suffering? So the Gemara says, Vayehi b'mei Achashverosh. And it wasn't the times of Achashverosh. So he says, Amar bi Levi, v'itemar bi Yonatan, devar zeh masoret v'yadenu. We have a mesorah. We have a tradition. Me'anshe Knesset Gedolah, from the men of the great assembly. Kol makom she'nemar v'yehi, anytime it says in the pasuk v'yehi, eino ela lashon tsa'ar. It's only a lashon of suffering. When it says the word v'yehi, it must be suffering. That's what he's saying. V'yehi b'me Achashverosh, when it was in the time of Achashverosh, hava Haman. It was that time of Haman where Haman wanted to destroy the people, the Jewish people. That's a suffering. This was in the story of Megillat Rut. And also over there, if you look in the beginning of the story, also over there, it was a Ra'av, have a Ra'av right after. There was a starvation right afterwards. So it says the word Vayihi, and you see something suffering. You see that also from the time of Adam and Rishon, when God created man, it says when man started going out and started to sin, what did Hashem see? So it says Vayihi, and then right after it says, and Hashem saw that man was very bad, man was very evil. So you see that Vayihi has to do with bad. Vayihi ben nos'am mikedem hava nivna lanu ir. Nivna lanu ir. So he says that over here, this pasuk is referring to the tower of Babel that they created. They said, we want to make a tower, the building all the way up to Shamayim and you know, reach the Shamayim and scream at Hashem and so on and so forth. And you see what? It says the word Vayihi. So it's also talking about tsar, suffering. Vayihi bimei Amraphel asu milchama. In the time of Amraphel, they did a war. Also Vayihi, war. Vayihi biyot Yehoshua biYericho. That it was when Yehoshua was in Yericho, and then it says the Malach came to him. He told him, "You're doing bitul Torah. You're not learning Torah. You should be learning Torah. You shouldn't be sitting and waiting at war." Vecharbo shelufa biyado. It says the person was standing there. The Malach was standing there, had his sword right here in front of Yehoshua. Why? It says the word Vayihi. Vayihi has to do with something negative. It's to do with suffering. Vayihi. It's going to bring like 10 pesukim. Vayihi Adonai et Yehoshua mimalau bnei Israel. Also Vayihi lashon tsar. All of these pesukim you see, Vayihi has to do with suffering. Vayihi ish echad min ha-ramatayim ki et chana ahav v'adunai sagar rachma. It says that in the story of Chana, that it says the word Vayihi, and then it tells us that Hashem had closed her womb and not allowed her to have children. So also over there you see Vayihi correlated to tsar, suffering. Then it says, Vayihi ka'asher zaken Shemuel v'lo alchu banav v'drachav. It says when Shemuel was older and his children did not go in the path of Hashem. Also, Vayihi suffering. Vayihi David lechol deracham v'maskil v'adunai imo. It says that David, in all of his actions, he was succeeding, and Hashem was with him. And then it says, Vayihi Shaul oyen et David. And you see what? That Shaul is coming after David. Right after. So you see what? Vayihi, lashon tsar. Vayihi has to do with suffering. Vayihi ki yashav ha-melech be-beito. When the king was sitting in his home, rak ata lo tivne ha-bayit. It was told to David HaMelech that only you are not going to be able to build the Beit HaMikdash. So all of these things you see what? Vayihi has to do with Tsar. So it brought a bunch of Pesukim showing us and proving to us that when the word Vayihi is in the Pasuk, it must be that there is some suffering that's coming. I'm going to stop there for questions. Continuing. So now we're going to bring contradiction on all those Pesukim. The Gemara says, V'haketiv, it says in the Pasuk, Vayihi b'yom ha-shemini, on the eighth day. And what was that eighth day? What was that Pasuk talking about? Does anybody remember? Talking about the Mishkan, when they're building the Mishkan on the eighth day of the building. Right? So he's saying that was a very happy day. It was such a happy day for Hashem. Like the day the world was created. And it says the word Vayihi over there. It says another pasuk. K'tiv hachat, it says in the pasuk over here, Vayi b'yom ha-shemini. It says it was on the eighth day. K'tiv hatam, it says over there, Vayer vayi boker yom echad. That on the first night, and there was on the first night, on the first day, yom echad, that was one day. So you see over there, it shows that it's very good, it's not very bad. So why are you saying it's bad? So the Gemara says, Hashachiv Nadav Avihu. It was the day that Nadav and Avihu passed away. Yeah. And so it was also a bad day, it was a day of suffering. V'aketiv, it says another pasuk, Vayi b'shmonim shana, v'arba meot shana. It says on the 80th year and the 480th year, when the Bnei Yisrael left Mitzrayim, it was a very happy time. It's why you're saying Vayi is bad. V'aketiv, it brings another pasuk, Vayi kasher ra'a Yaakov et Rachel, when Yaakov saw Rachel, and he wanted to marry her. Also, Vayihi. Another pasuk, V'aketiv, Vayer vayi boker yom echad. It was on the first day. It was a great day. Vayika sheni, vayika shlishi, vayika tuva. There was many other days after that. The second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, on and on and on. So clearly, what do you see? Vayihi is not always bad. Why are you saying that Vayihi is always bad? Amar Vashe, kol Vayihi ika hachi veika hachi. A lot of times it says Vayihi. It could be bad. It could be good. Vayihi bimei eino ela shon tsar. But when it says Vayihi bimei, when it was in the time of this person, that is always lashon tsar. That's always a time of suffering. The Gemara says, Chamisha Vayihi bimei havu. There was five times where it said, Vayihi bimei. It was in the time of Vechule. And those were all tsar. Vayihi bimei Achashverosh, in the time of Achashverosh. Vayihi bimei Shafot HaShofetim, in Megillat Rut. when there was a starvation. Vahi bime Amraphel, in the time of Amraphel, when there was a milchama, when there was a milchama in Israel. Vahi bime Achaz, also, there was a suffering in the time of Achaz as well. Or what was the suffering in the time of Achaz? That was the milchama im, right, the war that they had to go through with Israel. In the time of Amraphel, there was a milchemet melachim, there was a war amongst the kings. In the time of Achaz, there was a milchama Israel. And then it says, "Vayibim Yehoyakim," and there was a time in the, in the time of Yehoyakim where the Galut and the Chorban Habayit began, the destruction of the Beit Hamikdash began. So these five times where it says "Vayibim," and "Vayibim" is the time of destruction, is the time of suffering. Then it says, "Ve'amar Rabbi Levi, Davar Zeh Masoret Beyadenu." We have a tradition in our hands, Ma'avotenu, from our forefathers. Amotz Ve'amatzia Achim Hayu Havu. These Amotz and Amatzia, they were brothers. My Kamashmalan, what is it coming to teach us? Ki ha, the Amar Bishmael bar Nachmani, this is what Bishmael bar Nachmani said. Amar Bionatan, kol kala sheitzenema bebet chamiya, any bride that is modest in her the house of her father-in-law, zochev yotzin mimenan melachim unaviin, she gets a zechut that kings and prophets will come out of her. Minalan, where do we know this? From Mitamar, from Tamar, dechtiv, vayere'ea, Yehuda v'chashvei lezona ki chistap aneha. He says Yehuda, when he saw his daughter-in-law Tamar, right, he was going on the derech and he saw this woman and he thought she was a prostitute, so he went and slept with her. So the Gemara, why? Because she covered her face. So the Gemara says mishum de chistap aneha v'chashvei lezona, but she covered her face, so he thought she was a prostitute. It should be the other way around. If she's modest, then he should think she's not a prostitute, right? So why do you think she was a prostitute? The Gemara says, "Ela mishum dekastap aneha bebet chamia," because she covered her face and she was so tsanua that her father-in-law never even saw her face. Velo hava yadala, he didn't know her. Zachta v'yatzu mimena melachim uneviim, she's merited to have kings and prophets come out of her. Melachim midavid, neviim, the kings came from David, right? David came from Tamar. Neviim and prophets, Tamar b'Levi. Masoret biyadenu. It's a tradition in our hands. Ma'avotenu, amotz v'ametzia, achim ayu. They were brothers, amotz and ametzia. Uchtiv, and it says in the pasuk, chazon Yishayahu ben amotz. That Yishayahu was the son of Amotz. And Yishayahu we know is a prophet. So clearly Yishayahu came from Amotz, and Amotz and ametzia came from Tamar. So he had Tamar, both kings came from her, and both prophets came from her. Why? Because she was so tsanua, she was so modest in her dressing. Then the Gemara says, there is something, right? It's going to bring a lot of things that is a masoret. They had a tradition in their hands. So this was a tradition in our hands from our forefathers. Makom aron eno min amida, that the spot, the measurement of the aron in the Beit HaMikdash was not taking up any space. It did not take up any space. The Tanya Namihachi, the Brayta says also just like this. Aron she'asa Moshe, yeshlo eser amot lekol ruach. The Aron that Moshe made, there was 10 amot on each side. Right? There was 10 amot on this side, and there was 10 amot on this side of the Aron. Let's say this is the Aron. We have deal. Aron gufe hecha havakai. Sorry, uchtiv, it says in the pasuk, ulifne ha devir esrim ama. Orech and rochav. Both of them had 20, both width and length in the Beit HaMikdash was 20 amot. So it was like 30 feet long and 30 feet wide. And each side was 15 feet of the Aron. So it doesn't make any sense. If the Aron is in the middle, and there's 15 feet or 10 amot on each side, that means that the Aron is taking up zero amot. It's not any space whatsoever. How is that possible? So he says, Uchtiv, Knav akaruv ayechad eser amot. Knav akaruv ayechad eser amot. We know on each side of the Aron, it had the keruvim. Right, the images. And so on each side, the wings of the image of each angel that was, or whatever you want to call it, the kruv that was coming out of each side of the Aron, had 10 amot of length, all the way to each side. So what do you see from that? Imagine, I tell you that there's a table this long, right? And he says, there's an Aron in the middle, but the Aron doesn't take up any of the space. So there's 10 amot over here, and 10 amot over here. And there's no Aron in the Aron's in the middle, but it's not taking up any space. So it's a huge ness, a huge miracle. So the Gemara says, Aron gufei hecha havakai. Where was the Aron? If the Aron's not taking up any space, how come, how is it there? Ela lav shmamina benes haya omed. It was standing in a miracle. That's how we can learn from this. Rabbi Yonatan patach la pitcha lai parashata mehacha. He opened up and he taught something about this discussion from here, from these pesukim. So now they're all going to try to bring some, drashot or divrei Torah regarding to these pesukim. No, it's all now because we received a Mesorah from our forefathers. Saying all the types of things that we received a Mesorah, a tradition from our forefathers, it was coming to teach us. Had nothing to do with one another. Okay, so now it's saying we're going to bring another drasha from here about Megillat Esther. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yonatan patach lepitcha lehai parashat mehacha. Vekamti alehim v'yichadi lebavel shem v'shar v'nin v'neched ne'um Adonai. So the Gemara comes and explains this pasuk. It says, Shem ze haktav. Shem, when it says the name, the word Shem, it gave Bavel a name, that's talking about the writing, that they do not have their own ktav, their own writing, their own lashon. So then it says, Shear ze lashon. When it says Shear, it's talking about the language. They're not going to have their own language anymore. They're going to forget their own language. Nin ze malchut. When it says Nin, it's talking about the kingship. They're not going to have their own kingship anymore. Veneched. When it says grandchild, zo Vashti. That's talking about Vashti. Why Vashti? We know was the granddaughter of Nebuchadnezzar HaRasha. She was the granddaughter of Nebuchadnezzar. Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani patach lapitcha lahai parashat mehacha. He opened up about Megillat Esther from here. Tachad ne'atzutz ya'ale berosh, v'tachad ha'sirpad ya'ale hadas. What does pasuk mean? Tachad ne'atzutz, tachad haman harasha. Under Haman, she'asa atzmo avodah zarah. He made himself avodah zarah. Tichiv as pasuk says, v'chol ha'ni'atzutzim, v'chol ha'ni'halulim. Talking about avodah zarah that he made. Ya'ale berosh, Ze Mordechai. That's talking about Mordechai. How do we know? Shenikre Rosh Lekol HaBesamim. He was considered the head of all of the spices. Shenemar Ve'ata Kach Lecha Besamim Rosh Mar Deror. It says the head of Mar Deror, of these spices. What does that mean? Mutargemina, they translate it Mare Deche. Mare Dechi. So it's saying they try to use that word as the head of the spices to mean Mordechai. Mare Dechi. And then it says, Tachat ha-sirpad, Tachat Vashti ha-risha, Bat benosh ha-nebuchadnezzar ha-rasha. It's under Vashti ha-rasha, ha-risha, who was the granddaughter of Nebuchadnezzar, she-saraf refidat Beit Adonai. That they burned down the ceiling of the Beit HaMikdash of Hashem, nechtiv, refidato zahav. And then it says, Ya'aleh hadas, what is Ya'aleh hadas? Zo Esther ha-tzadeket, she-nikret hadasa. She was called hadasa, she-nehemar, vayi uman, omen, et hadasa. And they were bringing up women, they brought up Hadassah. And this is referring to Esther HaTzadeket. Vaya la Adonai l'shem, zo mikra megillah. That's referring to the mikra megillah. Lo'ot olam lo yikaret. I think the pasuk goes. Okay, so how do they explain this pasuk? Elo yemei apurim. Those are the times of the days of Purim. Rabbi Shmuel ben Levi patach lepitcha lahai parashat mehacha. He opened up a drasha on Megillah from here. Vaya kasher sas Adonai lechem lehetiv etchem ken yasis lehara etchem. So he says that Hashem essentially is going to be laughing at the Rasha'im when they do wicked. So he says, Umichadeh HaKadosh Baruch Hu mepalatan shel Rasha'im. Does Hashem celebrate when the Jewish people do evil, when they do wicked, when they fall, when the wicked people fall? So this is Havak Ketiv, it says in the Pasuk, Betzed lifnei ha-chalutz ve'omrim hodu la'adonai kilo lam chasto. Ve'amar Rabbi Yochanan mipen, ma lo ne'amar ki tov? Why isn't it saying that Pasuk? When it talks about those wicked people, and they said, hodu la'Hashem, kilo lam chasto. Why doesn't it say ki tov? Because it's good, kilo lam chasto. Why didn't say kitov behoda azo in that thanks to Hashem? The fish ain't a kadosh baruch hu samech ma'apelatan shel rishaim, because Hashem does not celebrate with the falling of the wicked people. So clearly, he does not get happy when the wicked people fall. V'amar Yochanan, ma'ay dechtiv ve'lo karav ze el ze kol halayla. What does it mean when they were crossing the Yam Suf that the Egyptians did not had come close to the Jewish people the whole night? Bikshu malachei asharet lomar shira. The malachei asharet wanted to sing song when the Egyptians were falling in the water and drowning. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem said, Ma'aseh Yadai Tovin Bayam Va'atem Omrim Shira. What, my creations are going to be drowning in the water and you're going to be singing? Chas V'Shalom. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Hu Einosas. So clearly we have to answer the contradiction. Hu Einosas Aval Charim Mesis. Hashem is not going to laugh at the wicked people when they fall, but others will. That's the reality. Daikanami, it also is proven, Dichliv as Pasuk says, Ken Yasis. It said they will also celebrate. Not Velokativ Yasus. It doesn't say he will celebrate, it says they will celebrate. So what does that mean? There will be a time where the Rasha'im, the wicked people, will fall, and others will celebrate and be happy about it. But it's not talking about Hashem celebrating. Hashem does not celebrate when his people, any one of his people, fall. Okay, we'll stop there for today. Have a great day, everyone.